revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
It's November 8th, 2017, 1 year after President Trump was elected in a stunning upset of the establishment telling us who was going to win. It's one of the reasons why, as we looked at the elections last night, I held out a great deal of hope that things would turn around in Virginia. And actually, the Republican carried all of Virginia except for the two urban areas that wiped out the votes of everybody in the rural areas. In the Washington, D.C. area and in the Virginia Beach area, those were areas that were clearly carried by the Democrat. Yet, if you look at the rest of the state, it was carried by the Republican. One of the reasons why we have why we have electoral college in the presidential election, we do not want a couple of heavy urban areas and a couple of states to determine every one of our elections. That's a good thing about the electoral college. And that was what we had happen in the presidential election a year ago. We're beginning a 34-hour broadcast today to celebrate the election of President Trump, to celebrate your role in it, as well as the part that we played here. But it was really your support that has made this happen. And we appreciate that. We're happy to celebrate what has happened. And there's some very good signs that are coming up. We're also going to take a look at the tax reform issue, because that is an issue that is going to cost the GOP its majority if they do not get this through. We got a lot of senators who are, well, I'd say not a lot, but we got several Republican senators who are willing to burn down America, burn down our economy, just so they can get revenge on President Trump that they don't like. And I'm talking about Bob Corker, I'm talking about John McCain and others. We'll take a look at who is siding on which side with the tax issue and what the tax rates are looking like, some of the other suggestions that are coming out from people. We're also going to take a look at what's going on in Saudi Arabia. There's a massive internal coup that is going on there. Who are the players? Who are they aligned with? Are they globalists? Are they friends of President Trump? What is going to happen to the U.S. economically as a result of this? And what is it going to mean for peace or war in the area? Looks like there may be some more regime change wars that are coming down the line. So we're going to take a look at that as well. So as I said, this is the one-year anniversary of President Trump winning. Last night, however, we had Democrats in New Jersey. Not unexpected that a Democrat would win there. But Democrat won in Virginia. He actually came up with the amazing statement that ad that showed a rural guy with a pickup truck and a "Don't Tread on Me" sign, as well as a Confederate flag. He actually said that was being pushed around by Russia to cost him the election. So things really haven't changed much on the Democrat side. They're still playing identity politics. They're still blaming the Russians whenever they think they may be losing. We're going to talk about what happened with the election, but let's take a look real quickly at what's going on in terms of climate change, because this is one of the areas that we have seen the biggest change in the Trump administration. He's got a lot of people in his cabinet, a lot of people that have been appointed that really aren't along with the Trump agenda. However, in the EPA, we've seen major strides taken there. And it's very important that we understand what is truly going on. I spoke on Monday to Lord Monckton, and he's going to be revealing a paper either today or tomorrow at the Karl Popper meeting. It's a commemorative meeting of the guy who did a great deal to explain the scientific method. And Lord Monckton is going to dismantle the unscientific push for climate alarmism. And there's more evidence as well. We've got NASA saying that there's evidence that volcanic activity is heating up Antarctica's ice sheet. They're concerned about ice in Antarctica. It may be that it is not man-made issues. They're saying that the mantle has been heated up. They say it's the amount of heat. They can't imagine why there is still ice on top of it. And this goes back to 2014. The University of Texas study found Western Antarctica was literally a hotbed for geothermal activity. There are a lot of forces that are not accounted for. Lord Monckton is going to dismantle the climate change model. He's going to take a look at it from a scientific, mathematical, control theory standpoint. It doesn't hold water. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
It's the real news. Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. It's November the 8th, 2017. 1 year ago, President Trump was elected in a surprise victory, a surprise for the mainstream media, who've been telling us that he was losing in all of the polls. They had to eat a great deal of crow on that day. It was such a blowout that they couldn't rig the election. Not the case in Virginia. As many people were looking at this, and as I have seen, individuals were contacting me from Virginia saying, well, the urban areas are holding back their returns. And I said, I've seen this every election my entire life. They wait until the last minute, and the urban areas come in. It's basically like a game of poker with these guys. If it's a close election, they will rig it. And I believe that may be a factor. I don't have any evidence of that. I've just seen that type of thing happen before. It seems like a recurring pattern. The rural areas that typically go Republican will show their hand in the game of poker. And then the liberal areas, the urban areas, will wait a while. And then they will come up with a figure that beats yours as they reshuffle the cards. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe not. I don't know. But if you look at the map, you will see the electoral map. You will see that the Democrat candidate carried the Washington, D.C. area, what a surprise, and the Virginia Beach area, which is a big military area. It's not people who live in Virginia. The rest of Virginia is very conservative, but they cannot overcome those urban areas. Nevertheless, Donald Trump's election last year was such a blowout, they couldn't rig it. And I want to play for you a mashup, a clip of people's reactions, a stunned media and Democrat politicians to President Trump's election 1 year ago today. Let's run that clip.
This is the time for real wisdom. Lightning round.
If tonight, I'm not sure how much of America, but a very, very significant portion, and I mean literally crying.
Everybody is crying and so upset, and it is the end of their world.
Feels like the end of the world.
We were on Lifetime last night,
right.
And I was slowly getting drunk is what happened to me.
How do we explain how this is possible?
How did this happen? Experienced politician versus racist fake gynecologist.
Get your abortions now.
You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country.
This is a different earth today than it was 24 hours ago. It's a different place.
All right, so that's some of the reactions that we've seen, and we're going to pop out of that because the people and Hollywood don't seem to control their mouth. So we're going to pop out of that. Apologize to those of you who are listening. You know, some of the people who are very upset about this, remember, are not just the people on MSNBC, not just the people on CNN. It's the Bushes. We can take some delight in that. Over the weekend, the Bush family came out with their book. And it's a father and son book, Bush 41, Bush 43, came out with a father and son book attacking President Trump. Close to the one-year anniversary of his win. As a matter of fact, Bush Sr. admitted that he voted for Hillary. See, we've told you for a very long time there is no difference between these establishment globalist political parties. There's no difference whatsoever. Now, Junior W. said that he voted for none of the above. But we need to explain to W, because he needs a little bit of help on these issues, that there is no none of the above on the ballot. Nevertheless, that's the story that he's sticking with. And this is their book. And, of course, the book is called The Last Republicans. I thought, well, you know, I don't think that's really a very descriptive title. So I had a put a poll on my website, on my Twitter account, Libertarian. And offered some alternatives, and here are some of the results that you got. The one that won was New World Order a bust. Coming in second was The Last Globalists instead of The Last Republicans. Maybe we could call them The Last Rhinos, but I don't think they're The Last Rhinos. We're going to have a lot of Republicans in name only. The third one was, and a close, it was close between 1, 2, and 3, was 9/11, It Wasn't Me. And then the last one was Bush's Copperfield, referring to the proclivities of Bush Sr. in the wheelchair. As one individual came back and said, you know, there needs to be at least one misspelled title in this list. This is, after all, W that we're talking about here. So I said, well, maybe we could put in most misunderestimated presidents. But I think the best title for this book would have been Read My Book, No New Lies, A Lesson in Voodoo Politics. That's the, or The Last Bushes, A New Hope. Steve Bannon doubled down on this over the weekend. He called George W. Bush, called him out on his lack of leadership on immigration. He said he's a Brahmin Yankee from Yale pretending that he's a Texan. And then he went a little bit further. He said, maybe we should call them the Last Whigs, because that was the party. If you remember your American history, the early days of the Republic, it was kind of the elitist establishment party. He said the Republican Party that they talked about is essentially over. He said this party is a party that is made up of workers. That's what's reflected in the election of a year ago. It's a party of workers. It's made up of American workers. It's made up of the American middle class. It's got to represent not just their values, but their interests, and it doesn't. The donors, he said, the conservative consultants, the lobbyists, and the politicians that they bought with the Republican Party don't represent their interests at all. It's quite shocking, said Bannon. He says, I think now with the internet and news services like Breitbart, Daily Caller, others that would include us here at InfoWars, you're disintermediated the old kind of old think tanks of the conservative movement. And you've disintermediated the old media companies like Fox News to a large extent, which is really quite establishment. And he says the Bushes are triggered by Donald Trump. They personally obviously detest him. As a matter of fact, in the book, George W. was saying, we don't like President Trump because we are a family that is humble and we don't like him. And I have to say, if you have to tell people you're humble, you're not humble. But of course, again, that was W that we're talking about. The thing I thought was interesting in Bannon's assessment was he said that George W. Bush made three massive mistakes that took down America. He says three major policy initiatives that virtually destroyed the country. Number one was the Iraq War, $6 trillion in Iraq and Afghanistan. He said the second was a financial crisis that happened on his watch. And he said, but the most important part of it and the most destructive part of it is China. It was on his watch that they really set in motion most favored nation and getting China into the World Trade Organization. I know the Clintons pushed that. They tried to implement it, but it was Bush who looked at China. The whole Bush administration said China is going to get wealthier. It's becoming more democratic, more free market capitalist. No, that's not happening. That was a massive, massive mistake. And I would say, I would add a fourth initiative, because I think internally here in America, yes, we can talk about economic issues. And that's basically what he was talking about outside of the war. Even the war, Steve Bannon was focusing on economic issues. But I got to say, how do we ignore what happened on 9/11? How do we ignore the massive unconstitutional surveillance state, the Patriot Act? That is what should be repudiated. That, unfortunately, is not what is on the table now. But we're going to be, this is part of our 34-hour straight broadcast where we're going to be celebrating what happened 1 year ago. And we're going to be looking forward to what is coming up. Taxes are very, very important. As we see this debate going on in Congress and in the media saying, well, you know, lowering taxes doesn't really help the economy, I would ask you, what has happened to the economy over the last year? Immediately after President Trump was elected, expectations of removing regulations, of reducing taxes, caused massive economic growth. It caused consumer expectations to go up. It caused businesses to begin to invest. It caused Wall Street to create the biggest stock market bubble. As a matter of fact, it's grown so fast, many people are worried about that bubble. So we don't want to embrace that too carefully. But it has caused a massive upturn in expectations, largely based on the repeal of Obamacare and tax reductions. If they do not get that in place, we are going to see a collapse of the GOP, and that's going to have massive repercussions. But just the expectations of taxes being reduced, of regulations being reduced, has been a massive engine for our economy. How can you say that if we had real tax reduction, real regulation reduction, that we wouldn't see even greater wealth created in this country? Stay with us. We'll be right back. Part of our 34-hour broadcast beginning right now. I'm David Knight. Stay with us.
Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide.
Welcome back. It's November the 8th, 2017. It was November the 8th, 2016 that President Trump became president, that he confounded and frustrated people. We got a great clip coming up from fake Jake Tapper at CNN talking about the Hillary Clinton campaign as we, on election night, we knew that was what was going on. We knew that Donna Brazile at CNN was feeding her debate questions. We have now had Donna Brazile and insiders in the DNC reveal that the entire DNC was bought by Hillary Clinton. Bought out the debt that Barack Obama had left them saddled with and said, you will report to us. You will report to the Hillary for President campaign, and we will have final review over everything that happens. That was the way that they had moved in with the massive amounts of cash that Hillary had with the many deals that she had and Bill had been doing over the last couple of decades. You know, selling arms secrets to China. That happened way before the Russian uranium deal. They may have made a lot more money out of that deal than they did out of the Russian, out of the Uranium One deal to Russia. But we're going to have reactions of people on election night. We're also going to be talking about what's going on in Saudi Arabia. Very important. Wasn't able to get to it for the last couple of days because of the shooting and the vital information about that. And, of course, there are a couple of updates with that, as well as updates on the gun control angle that is now being pursued. Isn't it interesting that even though this is a much smaller shooting in scale in terms of number of lives lost, isn't it interesting that they are pushing so much harder now with this shooting than they did with the one in Las Vegas? Is it that the Las Vegas thing just was so fishy that they felt like that was going to expose something about them? I still have a great deal of questions and misgivings about the Vegas shooting, about what the official story is. And I think they worked very hard to cover up every aspect of that. That thing was one of the most suspect events that we have had in our history in terms of my lifetime. And they shied back from that. They didn't push any gun control legislation. And many of the liberals are saying, where's our bump stock ban? We don't have a bump stock ban. Massachusetts has pushed one, but the feds have pushed back against that. And you would expect that in Massachusetts anyway. Nevertheless, the feds pulled back. The Democrats at the federal level pulled back on this thing. And they really didn't push anything. This is, without a doubt, a genuine event here in Texas, and I think that's why they're pushing so hard now. They don't want any scrutiny of what happened in Vegas. And they don't, and here's the other thing, folks. This is something that was revealed by Mark Collins, former pastor. He played George Washington in Revelation the movie because he is a spitting image of George Washington. He also goes around and educates kids dressed as George Washington. He educates them on American history and on the Republic, and he recreated that for the movie Revelation, the movie. You can find that at their website. We carry that here at InfoWars Store. But Mark Collins was a pastor there at that church for, I think, about a year and a half, I believe. But he went there to help the people, and he told us on Monday something that mainstream media has not pushed. We haven't even really pushed it sufficiently here at InfoWars, I don't think. And that is that the shooter... many people have talked about the fact that he's an NRA instructor, but the shooter was using an AR-15. We have full-page, you know, multi-page articles done by NPR, done by USA Today, done by CNN, going down and talking about what a fearful military weapon this is and how nobody should ever own one. Well, the hero who stopped this owned one. Would you want to hamstring him? You want him to go out there with a flintlock musket when the criminals will still be able to get an AR-15? And I'm not being facetious. I mean, we got a lot of people. People like Michael Moore. You don't need, you know, the Second Amendment was written when people had muzzle-loading muskets. We don't need Second Amendment this time of day. You know, we got our weapons are too dangerous. They're military style. And we've actually got President Trump's Pentagon nominee saying that it's insane that civilians can buy assault rifles. This is Dr. Dean L. Winslow, the nominee to be Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, said that. Can you believe that? This is the problem in a big bureaucracy like that. I don't know who's making the appointments for President Trump, but even though President Trump has had a lot of accomplishments, and we're going to talk about some of those here, that's in spite of the people that have been appointed. The only person that he's put in that is worth a darn is the EPA administrator. He is on target, so much so that he's got to have 24/7 security protection. But the only way that we get 24/7 security protection is if we provide our own weapon. and know how to use it. And that's what we're going to continue to do here in America. All right, this is the beginning of our 34-hour broadcast here. It's America's rebirth, America's renaissance that we're celebrating today. And you had a big role in this. Your support of the products that we sell here at InfoWars is really what makes this possible. And as I'm looking at this sheet and the discounts that we have here, I'm seeing one product after the other, 50% off. And I said yesterday after we saw that shameful display on Twitter where you had a Democrat congressman named Quigley talking to a Twitter executive Quisling and telling him, I just saw InfoWars trending on Twitter. And it was an article where we were quoting what an imam had said about neglect by Mayor de Blasio. Said, I told him many times that there were radical mosques here and he needed to do something about it and he didn't do anything about it. And of course, that was coming up right as there was an election yesterday in New York City. De Blasio won. But this Democrat was very, very angry that this story, where we simply reported what the imam had said publicly put out on Twitter, he was so upset that that article was trending on Twitter. And he asked the Twitter executive, why is that happening? Well, we shut that down. We saw that. We shut that down. Well, why didn't you do it faster? Can we talk about this later, Senator, when we're in private? I don't really want to go into all this stuff here. You know, you've embarrassed me enough. Talk about censorship, but it also came out that they shut down 50% of the tweets, and there were over 500,000 of those about hashtag DNC leaks. Twitter working with Hillary Clinton to make sure that you don't see what was leaked, that you merely focus on the made-up narrative that it was Russians who broke in and stole all that stuff. And I talked about that yesterday, but as I said, when they delete 50% of the tweets about DNC leaks, I said, well, we ought to call this the DNC leak special or the Stop Twitter special. And we've got a whole bunch of things that are 50% off, just like they took 50% of your tweets about the DNC leaks away. So here's some of the things we have on special. Super Male Vitality, 50% off with free shipping. Super Female Vitality, 50% off with free shipping as well. Biome Defense 50. 50% off with free shipping. Again, that Biome Defense 50 is because of the number of types of strains that we have in there of probiotics. All apparel, 50% off with free shipping. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off with free shipping. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, 50% off with free shipping. Super Blue Fluoride Free Mouthwash, 50% off with free shipping. And DNA Force is back in stock, 25% off with free shipping. Now, it's not as deeply discounted, but that is a big dollar discount. That's a very expensive product to make. And again, you can think of it as the number of emails, the number of tweets that Twitter deleted. They tweeted, deleted and tweeted. They deleted 25% of the tweets about Podesta's emails. So if you want to fight censorship, if you want to take back this country, if you want to have more victories like we did 1 year ago, stand with us, and we appreciate that. That's why we have discounted these products that deeply. 50% off, just like Twitter censors your tweets. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
And now, live from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
David Knight. It was a year ago that President Trump was elected. This is the beginning of our 34-hour broadcast to celebrate that. And I want to give you an example of how things might have been different if Hillary Clinton had won. And it's important to understand the important victories that we've had in this last year. Even though we've had an establishment GOP largely block President Trump, reversing themselves to keep Obamacare, and now we've got some suicidal senators, and actually they're not suicidal. I guess that Bob Corker's seeing the handwriting on the wall. He knows he can't get elected. John McCain is dying, but they're going to pull down the temple with them. They want to burn down America by stopping any kind of substantive tax reform, and they're going to do that, and they're going to do it just to get even with President Trump, just to stop this movement, just to try to damage it, and that's what we've already seen with Obamacare. But one of the places where they haven't been able to stop the Trump agenda is on the environment. We've had massive improvements there because we have a great EPA administrator and Scott Pruitt. And here's an article from Breitbart, James Dellingpole, talking about how Trump has been vindicated. Now, even the United Nations confirms that the Paris Climate Accord was a complete waste. And understand, this is coming as I look through and survey the media. I see these pictures on various establishment mainstream media sites, and they show President Trump, and they've got like a, you know, the world on fire behind him. That's the image that they're showing. And saying that the United States is now the only country that's not in the climate Paris Accord. So let's talk about what the UN is saying about this. The UN admits that it was totally useless to do anything about this. This is the UN Environment Committee admits that its latest emissions shortfall report, even when you add up all the CO2 reduction pledges made by all the signatory nations at Paris, they say, it still comes to only one-third. Think about one-third of what is supposedly necessary to stop the world by warming more than 2 degrees centigrade by the end of the century. Okay, so what they're saying is this is only one-third of what we need according to our models. Now, I had Lord Monckton on Monday. He talked about how he was going to be revealing his analysis of the failed model at the Karl Popper meeting. And of course, Karl Popper was a guy who formulated in very precise terms a scientific method. And Lord Monckton is a mathematician. He's worked with other people who are engineers and scientists who understand control feedback theory. They have taken a look at this model and they have said this is fundamentally flawed. And they're going to make their presentation. They're going to go right after this foundation of climate mythology that they're so concerned about, that was a justification for the Paris Climate Accord. And yet, nevertheless, all the pledges that everybody's come together with would only be a third of what their model says is necessary. And so what they're saying is we still find ourselves in a situation where we're not doing nearly enough. You know, there will never be enough. They will always want more. And, of course, they can always do that because other than somebody like Lord Monckton coming in and pointing out how they got the science wrong, how they got the math wrong on this, if you will, okay, for the most part, they can get away with this because they appeal to authority. They appeal to consensus. Those are not how you do science. That's why he's presenting this at the Karl Popper convention, because he's talking about the scientific method. Science is not determined by consensus, not even amongst the most established scientists. We have seen over and over again in history how scientific consensus by all the best scientists in the world were wrong. I'll give you one example. The Wright brothers versus Langley, the guy they named Langley Air Force Base after, where the CIA is now. Okay, Langley was, I think he was involved with the Smithsonian. I think he was head of the Smithsonian, but he was one of the most respected scientists in the world, certainly one of the most respected in America. He was trying to create a flying airplane. He was unable to do it. Why? Because he was going with the tables that had been created by the rest of the scientific consensus, the scientific establishment. They'd come up with lift and drag tables that were wrong. And the Wright brothers said, this doesn't quite look like it's right. And so they went back and they did their own measurements. And they got it right because they went back and did the science themselves. They didn't rely on faulty work from somebody else. They began at the very beginning. And so here you've got a guy who is in charge of all these different scientific establishments. He's got all these scientific degrees. And a couple of homeschool bicycle builders went back to the very beginning and did real science, and they made the first flying machine. And so you cannot go through when they come up with these climate models. These are projecting what the climate is going to be decades or centuries from now. And so you can't really test their models, but you can examine their assumptions. And so that's what Lord Monckton is going to do. But let's get back to the Paris Climate Change Agreement, the Paris Climate Treaty or Agreement or whatever. Okay, as Dellingpole points out, another way to look at it is that President Trump's decision to pull out of the Paris Accord is now fully vindicated. Had the agreement been ratified, and here's the important point about this, it was absolutely irrelevant. And many people who believed that we're getting global warming from CO2. Many of those people were saying this isn't going to do anything. And now they're still saying that. But here's what it would have done. It would have handed countries like China and India a huge competitive advantage over the American economy. That's what it would have done. We know that would have happened. Many people are saying, and they're now still saying, this isn't going to make any difference for our climate models. The climate alarmists are saying that. But we knew what it was going to do, and this was really what its true purpose was. Its true purpose was to manage our economy, to ruin our economy. The true purpose was for the globalists to hand more economic power to China and to India, as they have been doing for the last several decades. That's what President Trump stopped. So whether or not you agree with man-made global warming based on CO2 increasing, and of course CO2 has gone up rapidly in the last few years, and yet we see that ocean temperatures are cooling. Why is that happening? That's because there is no correlation there. Nevertheless, but even as the UN now admits, it would have made no discernible difference to the alleged problem of global warming. So the point was to destroy our economy, to take over our economy and turn it to give it to China and to India. They were going to be given a pass to continue to build very dirty coal plants and not even begin to cap this for decades. We're going to have to cap and immediately start reducing our economy. But let's talk about the oceans. I mentioned this at the top of the hour, but there's another report here from Daily Caller. NASA has more evidence that volcanic activity is heating up Antarctica's ice sheet. Ancient underground streams of heated rock called a mantle plume might be the explanation for the instability of Antarctica's western ice sheet. And this is coming from NASA. One of the scientists at NASA said, whoa, I thought it was crazy. I didn't see how we could have that amount of heat and still even have ice on top of it. Oh, well, maybe it's because the oceans are cooling, and that is mitigating this somewhat. And again, in the report, they point out that in 2014, a University of Texas study found western Antarctica was a literal hotbed for geothermal activity. They said large areas of the base of the Thwaites Glacier are actively melting in response to geothermal flux consistent with a rift-associated magma migration and volcanism. Here's what that translates to. Not man-made. You understand? There's heat there, and we're seeing some melting. Nevertheless, we're seeing increased ice in the Arctic and the Antarctic area because of other factors. And so these scientists are astonished because they're not seeing an increase in temperature that is correlated to CO2. They're not seeing, even though there's massive geothermal activity under Antarctica, they're not seeing the whole thing melt down. What is going wrong? Well, fortunately, we have been saved from this alarmism. We've been saved from this junk science. And one of the reasons for that is President Trump and his appointment at EPA. That's one of the things that happened a year ago, November 8th, 2016. This is our 34-hour broadcast. I'm David Knight, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. David Knight on this November 8th, 2017, 1 year after President Trump was elected, and we were having a 34-hour broadcast. We're calling it American Rebirth and Renaissance. This is just the beginning. We'll have live coverage for 34 hours. Just to remind you of some of the sales that we have along with us and free shipping on these sales as well. We have Super Male Vitality, 50% off with free shipping. Super Female Vitality, also 50% off with free shipping. Biome Defense 50, that's our probiotic formula. That is 50% off with free shipping. All Apparel, 50% off with free shipping. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off with free shipping. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, 50% off with free shipping. Super Blue Fluoride-Free Mouthwash, 50% off with free shipping. And DNA Force, back in stock now, 25% off with free shipping. And again, even though that's one item that is not 50% off, that is a big discount. That's a very expensive item to produce. It takes us a long time to do it, so we frequently do run out of it. So right now, it is in stock, and you can get it for 25% off. I want to go back and take a look as we're looking at the reaction of the media to President Trump's victory a year ago. It's what the Germans call Schadenfreude. basically a dark joy in the suffering of other people. and we can take some joy in that. They're celebrating today. They had a little bit of victories yesterday. Of course, they won in some Democrat areas like New Jersey and Virginia. There was some hope, even though the Republican had not been leading in the polls. They had tightened in recent weeks, and there was some hope that the candidate for governor there would win. But as Donald Trump pointed out in his tweet today, he said, Ed Gillespie, the Republican candidate, worked hard, but he did not embrace me or what I stand for. Don't forget, he said, Republicans won 4 out of 4 House seats, and with the economy doing record numbers, we will continue to win, even bigger than before. And I have to say, makes it all the more important that we have tax reform. We're going to talk about what the state of tax reform is right now in the Senate and in the House, the chances for passage, what the plan actually means for different people in different states, different income levels. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of the tax reform because this is a vital issue. It is a vital issue, not only for Trump, the Trump agenda, and moving forward with the GOP, because there's, as I mentioned before, many people like Bob Corker and John McCain who just want to burn it down. They don't care. Just like the Bushes, they hate President Trump. You know, read their book, No New Lies. Just the same old lies that they were telling us all the time. They want to see Trump fail, and they will burn down our economy in order to do it. And as we have all of these talking points from the Democrats who somehow have now discovered something called a deficit and an accumulated debt. They were running annual deficits that were so large they were adding $1 trillion a year to the debt. And yet they have just now discovered it. They have just now discovered fiscal responsibility, and they're lecturing us that we can't have tax cuts because we're spending too much money. Well, there's a solution for that, and that is to cut taxes and cut the spending even more. One of the things that they could cut, and that's one of the plans that people are putting out there, Obamacare taxes are gigantic. It is a gigantic tax scheme. To that extent, the Social Security, Supreme Court was correct. You know, it was an unconstitutional mandate to buy a product from a private company, and it should not have been allowed because of that. But it was also a giant tax. Obamacare should have been called Obama tax. It certainly wasn't affordable health care. It wasn't health care at all. It was health insurance that they're providing for people. And you have to understand the difference between health insurance and health care. That those two do not necessarily track together. But it was a massive tax. They added 16,000, 17,000 different new IRS agents to administer this tax. It is a tremendous financial burden. And that needs to be removed. It drove up the cost of health care to put taxes on health insurance. It drove up the cost of health care to put taxes on medical devices. That's just common sense. That doesn't make anything more affordable to tax it unless you're looking at some kind of inverted socialist logic. But that's an important thing that has to be done with taxes. But as we look at this and as we look at the reactions of people, I want to go back to Fake Jake of CNN, the guy who was telling us after the New York City terrorist attack that was not done with a gun. It was done with a vehicle. And he was talking about how Allahu Akbar, and he lied to us about what that truly means. It does not mean God is great. It means Allah is greater than your God. He's greater than your culture. He's greater than your rule of law, your political system, because Islam is not just a religion. It is a political system. So it means all of those things, but it does not mean God is great. Doesn't mean that we worship the same God. They'll be the first ones to deny that. But he was telling us that. And then as people pushed back on that, he said, this all started with InfoWars. And now Fox News has become like those nut jobs at InfoWars. And I said, well, and actually you become like the Onion. And they later did with the shooting that happened on Sunday. Putting out the idea that Sam Hyde, this internet meme, and they let a senator put that out. They left it out there for quite some time. They put that out there, and I said, see, that's what happens when you rely on official sources and you don't check anything because you're in bed with these people politically. Here's an example of how Jake Tapper was politically in bed with the Hillary Clinton campaign.
the key states that we really need, that Hillary Clinton really needs to maintain. Let's just put this on the board. We need to make Hillary Clinton needs to keep Pennsylvania, and she needs to keep New Hampshire.
Yeah, no bias there. No bias there from fake Jake. You know, we need to do this, and we need to do that. And we already gave her the questions to debate that was coming up. So we did everything we could to help her. And we're still failing. We just can't get this through. Let's play the clip of Rachel Maddow, clip number 10. This is her nuclear meltdown as she realized that her dream of having Hillary Clinton, and because, you know, nobody liked anything about Hillary Clinton except the fact that she was a woman. And that just wasn't enough. There are plenty of women who are qualified to be president. She is not one of them. Here's Rachel Maddow's meltdown.
Let me be the 4,000th person in your personal life to tell you that this is a landmark moment in political history that we're in right now. There are protests in the streets tonight, big ones. This was just before our show went on the air tonight. This is out my window in my office. Huge, loud protest against Donald Trump being elected president went by. This is out my window from my office. Just
not my president. Yeah. No, he is your president.
Protesters are now in front of Trump Tower. This is part of how you know you're in America, right? Freedom of assembly. Freedom of assembly, freedom to peacefully protest an election outcome you don't like. And honestly, we never before have made the peaceful transition of power to someone who has such radical and frankly negative views of all of those other unromantic but crucial everyday foundational elements of our civic life. The
Just
things
really
that make us who we are as a country, the things
President
that make
Trump.
Us a free republic. What he wants to do with that power is destroy a lot of the other foundational civic things that make us who we are as a country. I mean, our republic is not just our system of democracy. It's all of these other things that we need too. And so what do? We have a free press in this country. We don't have state media, right? We don't have state censorship on any sort of broad scale. We have a free and independent press
NPR.
That does what it wants, says what it wants, asks whatever
press.
Questions it wants. We act to protect the other aspects of our life as a nation that we may be used to take for granted, but that now really overtly and presently and acutely require protection.
We have to protect
that
the state media.
That stuff happens.
People need to be protected against tweets.
Even potential end of the world stuff. Sometimes it does happen. Sometimes it turns out to be your generation, your workplace, your country. There are doomsday plans going into action all over this country right now. It's the brink of nuclear war. It's like worth a shot, right? If all else fails, why not try that?
Yeah, well, you know, they were going to try that, the Antifa people, but then it turned into like an anti-fail. It was kind of a total failure of the socialists. And when she talks about the fact that we don't have state media, come on, let's understand the massive subsidies of mainstream media. Let's understand that there are things that are directly subsidized, like NPR. Let's understand the long-term control of the mainstream media, the old establishment, CBS, ABC, NBC. Understand Operation Mockingbird. Understand how they were fed information. Do you think it was coincidence that those guys always talked about exactly the same topics in their half-hour news show, and they all gave you exactly the same angle? Now, we do have a free press today. And that's why they're trying to shut it down. The free press is getting the people, and you are sharing articles, and you're educating yourself, and they want to stop that. That's why they want even greater control over the rope-a-dope structures that they put in social media, like Twitter, like YouTube, and Google, and others, Facebook. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
War on corruption. It's David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. This is part of our 34-hour broadcast. So now we've got another 33 hours. We've just finished our first hour. This is the one-year anniversary of President Trump being elected. We just played the meltdown of fake Jake Tapper at CNN, and we played the meltdown of Rachel Maddow at MSNBC. Saying plans are being made. We have to go nuclear on this. We have to push back on this. And they have. They have tried to overthrow the election in multiple ways. And we've had a year of fantasy conspiracy theories from the Democrat Party and a crooked special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, who is involved in real Russian collusion, in real collusion to cover up the crimes of Hillary Clinton. And he is still in the special prosecutor position, even though the law for special prosecutor expired in 1999. It's a shame that they don't even follow the expired law, because it actually had some oversight and discipline involved in it. Once the attorney general looked at the evidence, a specific crime, not to investigate a man, but to investigate a crime. And of course, it turns into the investigation of a man or his political groups. That's why they allowed that to expire in 1999. But once they would present under the expired law the crime to be investigated, then the attorney general would give it to a three-judge panel, and they would appoint the special prosecutor. And the special prosecutor would provide them with reports that they would determine what would be made public about the investigation. So there was a continuing process of oversight. If he wanted to go explore another area other than the area that he had been given authority for, then he had to go to the attorney general and justify it and get authorization from the three-judge panel. We have none of that kind of oversight going on now. This is a Stalinesque witch hunt, or as some of the judges who have worked with Robert Mueller in the past said, he's basically a Torquemada. This is an Inquisition, a Spanish Inquisition type of thing. But as we're looking at Rachel Maddow, made me think of this article that came out in the last couple of days. It's from Jonathan Turley, who is he's not a conservative, probably leans a bit left, but he is a lawyer. And so he's looking at some interesting legal issues. And here's a case. We have a female basketball player is suing New Mexico State University. They took back their job offer to her when they found out she was no longer a lesbian. They had extended this offer to her. She was a very successful professional women's basketball player. And they thought she'd just be the ideal choice. She had a great record. She really knew what she was doing. And they thought that she was a lesbian. She'd been openly a lesbian as she worked in professional basketball as a woman. But what they didn't know was that she had become a Christian. And she had actually made a statement somewhere saying how she had come out of that lifestyle because as a Christian, she believed that homosexuality was wrong. It was not worth losing your soul over, she said. So they fired her. They rescinded the job offer. And so now she has filed a federal lawsuit that Jonathan Turley, who's a lawyer, says, well, this raises interesting free speech and religious freedom issues and discrimination issues. The Washington Post pointed out the statement of Candace Wiggins, who is Stanford's career scoring leader. She played for four WNBA teams. That's Women's National Basketball Association. Earlier this year, she said that 98% of the players in the WNBA are gay. She complained that she was pressured and she was ostracized for being gay, for being straight. That's the gay mafia. And that's the intolerance of the left. They will not. They always want to talk about freedom, being able to come out. But they want to put you in the closet if you don't agree with them. They want to shut down your views. And that's what we're going to find from the anti-fascists, the anti-fa. We're going to find out that as they preach tolerance and equality, they don't mean it. We have seen this for 100 years of communist revolutions. The only place that the communist revolution is really honored and respected is here in the West, among academics. In Russia, it has been thoroughly discredited. That's the sickness that is being presented to us in our university. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
You found it. It's the real news. From the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. This is part of our 34-hour broadcast here at Infowars, celebrating the one-year anniversary of President Trump winning election in spite of the entire establishment, political and media, being arrayed against him, telling lies about him, including the fact that he was not going to win. You didn't listen to that. He showed up in the polls, showed up to the polls in such numbers that they could not rig the election. I believe that's what truly happened. I've always said that. I said it before Trump was elected, and I still say it today. They will rig the election if it's anywhere close. But if you show up in massive numbers, they'll just wait and come after him in a different way. And then we have seen that in the entire last year, how they're coming after him in a very different way than we have seen before. They were not going to be able to rig the election, but they're going to try to rig investigations to shut him down. And we have a inquisition that is being conducted right now without any legal authority. You have to understand that. And if you ask yourself, how could this happen? I mean, we've got Attorney General Sessions. Why would he allow there to be a special prosecutor when there is no law for a special prosecutor? Think about this. They created a law in 1978 to create a special prosecutor. It was challenged, and it went to the Supreme Court. They said, where's the authority for this in the Constitution? This doesn't look like anything we had in the Constitution. Went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court approved it by 8-1. The one lone dissent was Justice Scalia. And one of the things that he pointed out was, this is going to become a witch hunt. This is not going to be about a particular crime. You're not going to be able to contain this with a political special prosecutor. This will become a political investigation of an individual. And they saw that happen. And so they allowed that law to expire in 1999. So we haven't had a special prosecutor law for 18 years. Nevertheless, our attorney general allowed this to go through. And the individual who was selected to run this, Robert Mueller, has been at the center of the establishment, the center of the undermining of our rule of law and everything that this country was about since September 11th. He was appointed director of the FBI 1 week exactly before September 11th, September the 4th, 2001. He became FBI director. And he presided over this abomination, this repudiation of the Constitution that we have become, the Patriot Act and all that entails, the surveillance state and all that entails. He presided over all that, never did anything to enforce the rule of law. And of course, when you ask yourself, how could Attorney General Sessions allow such a blatant abuse to occur? Understand that he is still at heart a drug warrior. He doesn't care that we have a war on drugs that has failed, a war on drugs that is no longer popular. I mean, 64% of Americans do not want marijuana prohibited. We've had multiple state elections to prohibit it. But before you even get to that, well, and we want to talk about polls, even 51% of Republicans don't want marijuana prohibited. He doesn't care. And he doesn't care that he doesn't have any constitutional authority for a war on drugs. We saw that with the 18th Amendment. They had to pass a constitutional amendment to prohibit alcohol. Where is a constitutional amendment to prohibit any of the stuff that they have declared illegal? There is none. There is no legal authority, just like there is no legal authority for a special prosecutor. Nevertheless, they allow it to go. And as I said at the top of the hour, if they would even follow the guidelines of that now expired law, then we would have more of an honest investigation. But we don't. And we know that Robert Mueller is one of the deep creatures of the swamp, of the dark state, of the deep state, whatever you want to call it. This is a guy who is at the very heart of it. And of course, his cover-up of what they found with the Uranium One investigation that should have stopped that sale. He covered it up. He gagged the witness to that. That's now been removed. So we'll see what happens with that. But that should disqualify him. Why hasn't he recused himself? You have to avoid the very appearance of a conflict of interest. That appears to be a conflict of interest. If not a criminal obstruction of justice, the fact that they continued to gag him under FBI Director Comey as part of the election. So these are criminal charges that are there. But at the very least, there is reason for there to be a concern about a conflict of interest. That should be shut down. But it doesn't happen. And let me give you an example of this in New Jersey. And of course, we had a Democrat elected in New Jersey. No surprise there, especially since Chris Christie was down at 14% approval rate. He drugged down his lieutenant governor, who was running for governor, drug her down into the gutter with him in that approval rate. But let's take a look at the New Jersey senator, Senator Menendez. There's been a 9-week trial with Senator Menendez. And what they're looking at is charges, allegations of corruption and bribery. I'll give you an example of this. There's a doctor, an eye doctor in Florida, has a great deal of money. And he's a very good friend, according to New Jersey Senator Menendez. Just a really good friend. You know, they take vacations together. He flies him on his private jet to a Parisian hotel where he gets $1,500 a night hotel. He has all these models that go with them everywhere. As a matter of fact, he was using the senator to try to get visa approvals and get his three young, very young girlfriends into the country. But he did other things, too, that raised a lot of eyebrows, even with fellow Democrats. He demanded to have a private audience for this doctor with the director of Health and Human Services under Obama, Kathleen Sebelius, and said, I want you to look into this multi-million dollar, and I think it was either Medicare or Medicaid. It was a bill that this individual, this eye doctor, had that was outstanding. And he called in the director of Health and Human Services. She says, I have never had a situation like this before. Now, nobody vouched for him. I mean, the Democrats are throwing this Democrat senator under the bus talking about crime and corruption. Who showed up as a character witness? Lindsey Graham. This is how the Republicans and the Democrats are embedded with each other, the establishment people. But after this 9-week trial of things that look very, very corrupt, they finally went to the jury after 9 weeks with all this information. And the first response from a juror to the judge, the question was, what is a senator? Can you believe that? I mean, it is, this is the idiocracy that we live in. Are we going to be able to trust these people to convict this guy, to understand the issues involved here, when their first question is, what is a senator? I mean, come on. The judge refused to answer that question. And then the same juror said, I want a transcript of the entire trial. I don't know if the guy was trying to be a troll, or is he really that mentally deficient? I mean, is there a limit as to IQ? Do you have to be able to read, or you have to know anything to be a juror? This is a problem. This is a big problem. So we don't know what's going to happen with that. But it is a symptom of the idiocracy that we're living in. Here's another example of the idiocracy that we're living in. This story from Breitbart, Florida professor blasts Beauty and the Beast, of being toxic masculine capitalism. And all this time, I thought it was toxic feminine socialism of Hollywood. You know, the Hollywood that shows the irresponsible use of guns all the time, that focuses always on gun violence, that shows the objectification and the abuse of women all the time, and then really does it in real life. You know, Harveywood, you know, those people that we're supposed to be getting our values from, and quite frankly, and sadly, we do get our values from them. We do get our values from them. But I don't think they're putting out masculine capitalism. I never thought of that. And as Breitbart points out, this professor in there, theory goes back and links basically all social ills to capitalism, but had this to say about Donald Trump. Toxic masculinity is not an aberration, but its most extreme manifestations have fueled the alt-right and their de facto grand wizard, Donald Trump's rise. That is the insanity of the left. Meanwhile, as I pointed out at the top of the hour, you've got a lady who was an open lesbian as she was a professional basketball player. She then became a Christian. She spoke out against it. She said she stopped it because she thought it was sinful. She didn't want to engage that. Now, New Mexico State University hired her to be their basketball coach. Once they found out she was a Christian, they fired her. Said, no, 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 we don't want anybody. We can't tolerate your Christian belief. And so that's going to be a very interesting court case. We'll see what happens with that. Meanwhile, the government in Australia is teaming up with Facebook. They want you to send them your naked pictures just so that nobody does any porn revenge on you. And, you know, you can trust the government. You can trust them with everything. You know, as Eric Schmidt said at Google, he said, what are you trying to hide? They want everything about you. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. It's November the 8th, 2017. It was a year ago that President Trump was elected, and we are having a 34-hour broadcast. You've already heard the first hour of that broadcast. We're calling it American Rebirth and Renaissance. And to celebrate this, we have free shipping and 50% discount on many products. And after I tell you the products that are on 50% discount, we're going to take a look at a very amazing video here, the thing that happened this last weekend, and what we have seen since President Trump was elected, was the Antifa, the anti-fascist. It's like to call them the Antifa, because that's the way we ought to say it. But you sound kind of like JFK when you say that. But that's the way you say fascist, right? So why don't we call them the Antifa? We have seen these people, and we'd seen them before they started protesting President Trump. We had seen these Marxists here at the abortion clinic in Austin. We showed up with signs about black genocide, and that's what Star Parker was talking about in a hearing. And a Democrat congressman, Steve Cohen, gets very upset with her. I'm going to play that for you in just a moment. But we had seen that, and we'd seen these Marxist murderers, and I call them murderers because they bragged to my wife when she got it on tape. We kill our kids. They're proud of the fact that they killed their kids. Proud of the fact that they had a lot of abortions. And that's exactly what they said. We kill our kids. Yeah, we know that. We know that. We're not going to let you kill our kids. And we're going to try to stop you from deceiving other people, especially in the black community, to commit genocide. That's what they've been doing. And as we held up the sign, Stop Black Genocide, they showed up with their black signs just to cover up what we had. It's censorship. It's violence. They violently attacked people there. They spat on my teenage daughter. That's the kind of people they are. Those are the kind of people that, fortunately, we didn't see much of that this weekend. They had very, very tiny crowds, even though this AstroTurf demonstration was very well funded. Nobody showed up. People are getting very tired of that. They understand what this is about. That's one of the victories of the last year. For people to understand who these Marxist murderers are, we've had a century of Marxist murdering people. And here in this country, it's mainly taken its effect with the abortion culture, with the abortion industry. That's the way the Marxists have so far killed people. But if they get a chance, they'll do a lot more of that. They'll also shut down your free speech as they demand that they get free speech. So we're going to play that video for you in a second. I just want to remind you of some of the sales we have. All of these are with free shipping. Super Male and Super Female Vitality, both of those, 50% off and free shipping. Biome Defense 50, that's our probiotics, that's 50% off. All apparel at InfoWars Store is 50% off with free shipping. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off with free shipping. And again, that's a great way to take a broad base of vitamins and minerals, and you don't have to take a lot of pills. It's a great tasting drink mix. That's Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off with free shipping. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formulation, 50% off with free shipping. Super Blue Fluoride Free Mouthwash, 50% off with free shipping. And DNA Force is back in stock. It frequently goes out of stock. It's very difficult to manufacture, very expensive to produce with each batch. It is a premium product. It is 25% off, but it is in stock, and that is a big discount off of the usual price of DNA Force. And, of course, that is with free shipping. So take a look at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. Let's play this back and forth between Star Parker and Steve Cohen.
Suggest I'm disingenuous shows your ignorance or your absolute inability to deal with Congress people the way they should.
Ms. Parker, you brought a comparison between slavery and abortion, and as far as I recall, that's the first of that type of testimony that I have seen before this committee or any committee.
People have been saying that for a very long time.
Is that
time.
An original thought on your part? Have you had others that indexed the same comparison? How did this come about?
Is this a conspiracy
Others have
theory?
Looked at it as well. And in fact, when you put the Dred Scott decision next to the Roe v. Wade decision, they read almost verbatim. I'd like to also address something that was brought up earlier, if I may, when it comes to mixing the abortion issue with the challenges that we face in many of our hard-hit communities. I feel it disingenuous that the issues of Medicaid would come up and other opportunities for us to readdress what has happened and broken down in our most distressed zip codes, the way that Planned Parenthood specifically targets these particular zip codes with abortion. Abortion is the leading cause of death in the black community today. Since Roe v. Wade was legalized, 20 million humans have been killed inside of the womb of black women. And then on Halloween, Planned Parenthood tweets out that the black women are safest if they abort their child rather than bring it to term. To the gentleman from Texas.
I talked to Stacey Washington who pointed that out.
The founder of Planned Parenthood. I think that it is important that we put in record that the needs of those that are most vulnerable in society cannot be addressed with abortion. Abortion feeds a narrative that women are victims, that they have no control over their sexual impulses, and as a result of this narrative being forced down into our hardest hit communities, we're seeing now recklessness in sexual activity and marriage has collapsed. In the 50s, 70% of black adults were married. Today, that number is 30%. This is causing a lot more social pathologies that have to be addressed through different types of legislation, not the heartbeat bill. The heartbeat bill is to protect the innocent.
Chair, I recognize the gentleman from Tennessee, the ranking member.
Thank you. Firstly, we're in filler time waiting for somebody to come testify. I would ask that we allow Ms. Jayapal to do filler as well as the chair. And I'd also like to say that I am not disingenuous about anything I say about Medicaid or Medicare or LIHEAP or SNAP programs. And to suggest I'm disingenuous shows your ignorance or your absolute inability to deal with congresspeople the way they should. I believe in those issues, and I think they're proper. And to say I'm disingenuous is just wrong, and I expect an apology.
Well, you know, he began by saying, I think this is a novel idea that you have that says that this is like slavery. Why would she say that? She's not the first person to say that. People have been saying this for a very, very long time. And if you go back and you look at the writings of Margaret Sanger and what her stated purposes were, she was talking about a eugenics program, improving humanity by eliminating undesirables. And she thought that black people were undesirable, and she was going to eliminate them. And if you look at where they put the abortion clinics, there is no doubt that they are putting them, concentrating them in black areas. They have borne the brunt of this, but it is something that is spreading throughout society. You're talking about the marriage rate going down and how it is sunk in the black community. Same thing is happening in the white community. It's just lagging behind. Kind of like the situation where Pastor Niemöller said in Nazi Germany, first they came for this group and I did nothing because I was not a part of that group. Then they came for this other group. I did nothing because I wasn't a part of that group, and so on. Then they came for me and there was nobody left to help me. That's what we're seeing by these eugenicists, these Nazis who want to eliminate black people. But they're coming for you. You just wait. And when she's talking about slavery, understand when she talks about the similarities in these Supreme Court decisions, she says that they're similar because both of them talked about personhood. Remember? They said in the Dred Scott thing, well, you know, black people are not persons. Now they're saying unborn children are not persons. So we have these people who want to pontificate about, you know, from their throne about what is real news and what is fake news? Who are real persons and who are non-persons? Who are the people that we can kill? What is the information that we can censor? What is the information that we can kill? That's where they're coming from. That's where they're coming from. And that's the basis of these Marxist murderers on the left, the anti-fa. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
Of fake news. It's David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. I just played for you that back and forth between Star Parker and Congressman Steve Cohen, a Democrat from Tennessee. She had talked about the connection between the Supreme Court decisions on abortion and slavery. And of course, the basis of that is personhood. And he pretended to not know. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he is that ignorant. She said he was disingenuous. I kind of believe that's the case. I don't think he's as stupid as that juror who sat for 9 weeks in the corruption trial of New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez. And the first question he had as they went to deliberations was to ask the judge, what is a senator? That defies belief. Even to the extent that you got to ask a was that guy serious or was he trolling and mocking the judge? The judge refused to answer. But here we have a congressman, Steve Cohen, from Tennessee. And what he is saying is not what is a senator. He's asking, what is a person? Gee, I don't know what a person is. Well, you might have some telltale signs. You might have a heartbeat. You might have some other issues. But he wants to pretend that he doesn't know what a person is. We've had a lot of information to show you how Planned Parenthood is targeting the black community. We've had revelations from the Center for Medical Progress in the last year or so that have shown Planned Parenthood is engaged in the body parts issue, making a lot of money. It's all about the money. It's all about the eugenics as well. And he pretends not to know what a person is. Now, that is ingenuous, in spite of all his phony indignation. Or maybe he is just really that ignorant. But as we look at the one-year anniversary of the election of President Trump and the broadcast we have going on today, 34 hours, America's Renaissance, its rebirth, this is a live broadcast, and it's going to continue for 34 hours. We've just completed the first hour and a half of that. As we look at that, I think it's important to think about how different this country is based on the election of President Trump, the differences that have been made. I pointed out earlier the fact that we're not in the Paris Climate Agreement. We're the only country in the world not in that agreement. Isn't that a shame? No, it isn't. That agreement, even the people who believe in man-made global warming, as I pointed out earlier, said that it would, even with all the pledges that people had made, it would only reduce by a third what they thought needed to be done. So even the people who support that junk science of man-made global warming said it's irrelevant as far as the climate issues go. But it is not irrelevant as far as economics and power goes. It was going to throttle the American economy. It was going to reward China and India with a free pass. They could continue to build as many dirty power plants, as dirty as they wanted. No restrictions on the power plants that they were going to put in China and India. And we know that the ones that they're building don't come anywhere close to the coal-powered plants, the fossil fuel plants we have here in the United States. We've got clean fossil fuel plants here in the United States that are being built. But they were going to build cheap, dirty ones in China. And there was going to be no restrictions on that. They were going to be allowed to continue to do that before they even had to cap it and then wait a while before they began to reduce it at some point in the future. But our reductions were going to be coming right away. They were going to be shutting down our economy. So that's the only thing that was going to happen with the Paris Climate Agreement. Donald Trump shut that down. But let's talk about some of the other things that are happening, because as he's traveling right now, going throughout Asia, we've had the G7 summit. He was not at the G7 summit. He was traveling throughout Asia. But we've had some reports from there. Breitbart article says, in a dramatic shift from the Obama era, the United States negotiators representing the Trump administration at a G7 summit of health ministers in Milan, Italy, have resisted references to climate change, to sexual and reproductive rights, such as abortion, and to universal health care in an agreement that was set to be finalized this week. They say in a draft communique, they said the U.S. demands to strike out all references to climate change, to man-made weather, and other disasters. They found that very frustrating, these globalists at the G7. They said the U.S. is also refusing a reference to, quote, engage in international cooperation to implement the Paris Climate Agreement. That's right. We're glad. We're glad that's happening. As with the rest of the G7 process, they said, the U.S. didn't engage for months, and then when they did, just this week, they erected a wall and came back with extreme positions. No, the extreme positions were the ones that were being put forward by the globalists to shut down our economy. But we have people in this country. We have people in the Republican Party that want to shut down our economy. Why? Because people like John McCain, people like Bob Corker, want to get even with Trump. They want to shut down Trump. They want Trump to fail. In order for Trump to fail, the country has to fail. And they're perfectly fine with that. Corker and McCain will shut down the country. And as I said before, all of this back and forth about whether or not tax reductions are good for the economy, so many lies are told to us in economics. When we go to college and we study economics, as I did, they tell us, well, you got microeconomics. That's the real stuff that we see going on. And then we have this nebulous thing that we call macroeconomics. And see, in macroeconomics, debts and deficits don't matter. That's Keynesian economics. That's been sold to us since the time of FDR. They told us that doesn't matter. That's macroeconomics. That's money that you owe yourself. So it doesn't matter. No, it's not. It's money. The debt is owned by the Saudis. It's owned by the Chinese communists and others who do not have our interests at heart. It's not simply owned by Americans. And it's the basis for inflation. You know, the Federal Reserve, since its creation, has destroyed over 99% of the dollar's purchasing value, purchasing power. They've destroyed over 99% of it, and they're going to continue to destroy 99% of the remaining 1% if we let them do this. But now, all of a sudden, they're worried about the deficit. Somehow, the Keynesian Democrats and Republicans have gotten religion after all these decades, nearly a century of Keynesian economics, going back to the 1930s, they've now gotten religion about the deficit. Well, I agree. I think I've always said the deficit was a bad thing. Many economists have. But the way that you address that is by cutting the spending. It's the taxes that are throttling this country. And we can understand that this is important if we look at the effects over the last year. Immediately following President Trump's election a year ago, we saw a massive uptake in the stock market. We saw businesses hiring and expanding. We saw consumer confidence soaring. All of this stuff is predicated on the reduction of regulations and taxes. Now, the Republicans have failed us. The GOP establishment has failed us on Obamacare. They must get this done in terms of tax returns. And when we look at the massive increase in our economy, just based on the expectation of removing some of these burdens of regulation and taxes from us, imagine if we had a real removal of those burdens. What would happen to our economy? No, we can't have that. Globalists don't want us to succeed. We saw that with the Paris Climate Accord. So they want us to fail because they want President Trump to fail. They want to move ahead with their globalist agenda. The Dow's rally from Trump's election breaks all post-war records, reports Breitbart. Newt Gingrich, however, says tax reform is never easy, but GOP majorities hang in the balance. So what are we looking at with this? Here's some of the details. According to The Hill, anyone who makes $12,000 or less under this tax plan would pay no income taxes. That level of $12,060 for individuals is the federal poverty level. So they're saying that those people pay no income taxes. A typical family of four that earns the median household income of $59,000 would see an $1,182 tax cut. They get about $100 a month off of this. They say, additionally, families would see the child tax credit increase, and those caring for adult dependents would be provided with a $300 credit. So those are some of the things that are there. But again, they're wringing their hands and saying, this is going to reduce our taxes by $1.4 trillion over 10 years. Well, you know that this tax plan is not going to last for 10 years. And you also know that even though they want to deny it, you know that tax cuts will increase the economy. As I said before, just the expectation of tax cuts has given us a record stock market, has given us a very quick expansion in this economy. What if we were to do that for real? Yes, it really would give us more jobs. It really would give us a stronger economy. But as Ted Cruz has pointed out, the problem is that we're going to be raising taxes on some people, and that may be the killer. And it is not a good idea, even if it doesn't kill this bill, it's not a good idea to be raising taxes anywhere. They need to drop them in Obamacare, and they need to drop them and not punish people in the blue states that didn't vote for President Trump. I agree with that. Certainly, on one level, we don't want to subsidize their high state taxes. They should do something to reduce them. We'll have more on this. Stay with us. I'm David Knight. Welcome back to our 34-hour broadcast, American Rebirth and Renaissance. It's the one-year anniversary of the election of President Trump a year ago, and we've been talking about some of the good things that have happened and something that is absolutely essential that must happen, and that is to make this expectation of tax reduction real. We've seen a massive increase in the economy just based on the expectation of it. We know that that is good for the economy. Wouldn't it be great if we made it real, if it wasn't just a figment of people's imagination? And if you bust that bubble of expectation, you have to understand you're going to bust the economic bubble here in America. But people like John McCain, people like Bob Corker are just fine with that. We're going to talk about what's in this tax reform. We're going to talk about the objections, and we're going to talk about the opposition and the chances of it passing. And then we're also going to talk about what's going on in Saudi Arabia. The Game of Thrones that is happening there is not just an internal issue. You have to understand that Saudi Arabia has been inextricably linked with the U.S. economy, with our dollar, since the time that we came off the gold standard, since the time that we stopped with Bretton Woods II, Kissinger and Nixon set up the petrodollar with Saudi Arabia. So what happens in Saudi Arabia is of vital economic consequences to us, even beyond the price of oil. And we've already seen, as they've been making these moves, I don't know if you've noticed it, but we noticed it just yesterday, a big spike where we typically get gas just after the events of this last weekend. You may not realize that this Game of Thrones that's going on in Saudi Arabia is going to have consequences outside of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, outside of the price of oil. It may bring a Middle East war along with it. And we're going to talk about the factors involved in that. Real quickly, We're having a sale as part of this 34-hour broadcast and the celebration of Trump's election a year ago. We've got a lot of products, 50% off with free shipping. And let me just run down this list real quickly, because these are some of our most popular products. I'm sure you know what these are. Super Male and Super Female Vitality, both of those, half price off with free shipping. Biome Defense, our probiotic product, 50% off and free shipping. All Apparel, half price off, free shipping. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, half price off with free shipping. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, 50% off with free shipping. Super Blue, fluoride-free mouthwash, half off. And DNA Force is 25% off. And as I pointed out before, that is a big savings. All of those you'll find at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you so much for supporting us. All of those, except for DNA Force, is 25% off. All those other products that I mentioned are 50% off and free shipping. Let's go back to the tax plan. Ted Cruz has brought up an objection, and I think it is something that needs to be thought about. The big opposition that is coming to this tax reform package is the fact that it's going to get rid of state and local tax deductions in places like New York and California. They rely very heavily on that. That's a big ticket item for wealthy people. It's not something that's going to affect the middle class so much, but it is something that's going to affect wealthy individuals. And it was even the Washington Post that pushed back against what Nancy Pelosi was saying, said, this is something that's going to hurt poor people in the middle class. And I said, well, no, actually, if you look at who takes this deduction, it's wealthy people in blue states. But Ted Cruz is saying, I think it's a mistake for us to do this, even though they're simplifying the code, even though they are increasing, doubling the standard deduction, doing things like this, taking away some mortgage deductions for people, that's going to hurt not only its passage, but it's also going to minimize the effect that we have, the positive effect that we have for this economy by taxing that. They need to focus on spending cuts, and they need to give us real tax reform, real tax cuts. Ted Cruz said on yesterday that the tax plan, raising taxes on individuals in high tax states like New York and California, call for language to repeal the individual mandate and produce more revenue. What he is saying is, instead of doing that, instead of attacking some people's home mortgage deductions, instead of attacking some people's state and local tax deductions, let's get rid of the Obamacare tax. Because Obamacare really is Obama tax. And he's joined on that with Senators Tom Cotton and Rand Paul. They call for tax reform to include language repealing the tax penalty on people who don't buy health insurance. And understand, one of the first executive orders that President Trump came out with was to say, I don't really want the IRS to enforce that. Nevertheless, IRS Commissioner Koskinen, who just had his term end, he was never fired, even with all the scandals at the IRS. Nothing ever happened to Lois Lerner. Nothing ever happened to him. He presided over that as well. He stayed there, and one of his last acts was to say, hey, if you don't file the paperwork about your Obamacare purchases, we will look at you as a non-filer and come after you. We'll attach your income and so forth, defying President Trump's executive order. So, yeah, it is a tax, and they are still enforcing it. Cruz points out that if we got rid of Obamacare tax, this would raise an estimated $300 billion to $400 billion over the next decade, and you could lower individual tax rates even further. He said there are some taxpayers who are losing exemptions. I think that's a mistake. I think tax reform needs to cut taxes for everybody. He said one of the real virtues of repealing the individual mandate, number one, is every Republican in the Senate has voted to repeal the individual mandate. 100% of us. That's right. So you hold their feet to the fire. Now, one of the other things that happened in the last day or so, now this is being reported by Democrat Senator Sherrod Brown, said the president called them, and Sherrod Brown tweeted out, said that President Trump gave us a little speech. He called us, talked to some of the senators, and said that rich people are going to get hurt in this plan. That's not the way to sell this. We don't want to engage in class warfare. He's trying to virtue signal to the Democrats. He knows that they're all about class warfare. He doesn't need to be about that. You need to transcend that, not kowtow to it. And, of course, that is something that is coming from Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat, so we don't really know if that is the case. Nevertheless, Rand Paul has pointed out that if you're going to soak the rich, you're not really going to have big tax cuts because the rich pay most of the taxes. So if you really want to have the money stay in the economy, rather than go to Washington, have it stay in the economy to create jobs. You want to talk about trickle down being a myth? It's not a myth. Let me give you an example of it. I've mentioned it once before. When we were in North Carolina, we were building a home. We hired a guy who was a really, really professional Finnish carpenter. He had lost his job building yachts on the coast of North Carolina because people said, you know, we don't want rich people being able to buy yachts. So we're going to put an extra luxury tax. We're going to punish people who buy yachts. And we're going to come up, we're going to talk about the Saudi Game of Thrones. And one of the things that just happened there was that Crown Prince just spent $500 million on a yacht. Talk about rich people. And this is at the same time that they're cutting the welfare dole that they had so many people in Saudi Arabia on, enacting austerity. He's taking he took a $100 million vacation. He bought a $500 million yacht. That created some problems for him internally, as you can imagine, as he's putting other people on austerity. Nevertheless, when the American government decided that they were going to punish people who had enough money to buy yachts by putting a luxury tax on it, what it did was it caused the yacht industry in North Carolina to crash. And people like this carpenter, excellent carpenter, lost his job. And that's how we got him to work on our house. But he was struggling. It was less than he was making as building yachts because that was a more specialized skill. Taxes destroy. The power to tax is the power to destroy. We had a Supreme Court justice tell us that. Why don't we learn that? Why don't we learn that it is good for the economy? Just the expectation of tax cuts are good for the economy. And so when we look at this and the fact that they've got a tax hike reports, this is what's throwing Republicans on the defense, because it's not, they are raising taxes on certain segments and certain areas. House Republicans are on the defensive after a new analysis. The latest in a string of analyses shows that some middle-income people now would see tax increases under their plan to rewrite the tax code, while most taxpayers, 61%, would see their taxes fall in the next 2 years. Almost one-fifth would pay higher taxes by 2027. Now, in light of all that, what are the chances of this passing? We had John McCain come out and say, well, this is dead on arrival. And the reason he was saying that was because he was going to vote no because of his own personal reasons to burn it down. So it was Bob Corker. Like I said before, they want Trump to fail. And they want America, they're willing to see America fail in order to get Trump. That's what Bob Corker and John McCain are doing. And then you got Maine Senator Susan Collins, who is always to the left of even many in the Democrat Party, quite frankly. I think she's to the left of some of the Southern Democrats when it comes to socialism and economics. So the three of them had already said that they were not going to vote for the tax cuts. And they say now it's the Hill is reporting that Senator Ted Cruz has added his voice to those who are saying, I'm not going to vote for it. So we shall see what happens. A tax cut should be a tax cut. They should do a real deep cut along the lines of what Ronald Reagan did, what JFK did. It's still not too late to fix this and to get this done. And it's not only the success of the GOP that's dependent on this, it's the success of America that depends on this. I'm David Knight. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Making Sense Common Again. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. Part of our 34-hour broadcast, we're now entering hour number three. In the next segment, we're going to talk about what's going on in Saudi Arabia. I think you'll find it very interesting, the political intrigue, the Game of Thrones, but I think you're going to find that it also touches on some things that are very important for us in terms of the economy, in terms of war and peace. And so that's a very important segment that's coming up. I've been delaying it for quite some time because of what's been going on with the shooting. In this news break here, I want to talk about mumps and the mumps vaccine and how this is failing. You know, it was last week that I had producer of Vaxxed, the documentary. Remember that was excluded from the Tribeca Film Festival? Robert De Niro, who runs that, said, yeah, I want to air that. He's got a child who's suffering from autism. And then the other filmmakers said, no, we don't want people to get to see that evidence. We want to shut that down. And we've had that conspiracy of silence for quite some time. The producer of Vaxxed came on and talked about a new lawsuit that he is filing to try to get something done, filing it with the federal government, and talking about the fact that we have seen vaccine injuries surge by 400%. Did you know that? They have only reported, according to their own estimates, the Health and Human Services have only reported less than 1% of the vaccine injuries. But they have soared by 400% in just the last reporting period. And those who have been injured by flu vaccines has soared by 1,000%. And you don't hear much about this in the mainstream media, do you? Why? Because these people are being paid for by Big Pharma. And because back in 1986, they gave immunity to the vaccine companies. We're not getting immunity, however. We're not getting immunity. This is a vaccine court that is awarding an increase of 400% for regular vaccine injuries and over 1,000% for flu vaccines. This is an epidemic. And yet there's no studies to show what the risks are. Here's an example of this. This is reported by the Daily Mail. There's some other mainstream media that have pulled this up. But notice how they spin this issue. Mumps infections are skyrocketing among vaccinated communities, warn experts. And they got vaccinated in an uppercase. They're stressing the fact that this is happening within vaccinated communities. And as we pointed out to you over the years, as we've covered this, there have been measles epidemics that began with patients who had been vaccinated multiple times, two and three times. And then it spread to the other community. So much for herd mentality. I mean, herd immunity, but it is a herd mentality. They're saying mumps outbreaks are becoming increasingly common among vaccinated communities despite years of plummeting rates. And they said, and trying to scare people again, as they talk about the people who died with measles, the people who died with mumps, they say this is something that baby boomers struggled with. And now this has been taken care of, we thought. But now it is increasing. They say the now distant threat of mumps, which plagued baby boomers. You know what? We never considered it to be a plague. When I was a child, my wife was a child, our parents would find out somebody down the street had mumps or measles. It's like, all of you go down there and play with them so we can get this done. It would take you out with a high fever for a few days. It was extremely, extremely rare that somebody would die. Yes, you can always find somebody who died from something. What we have lost in America, in this idiocracy, where you can have a trial that lasts for 9 weeks, a corruption of a trial of a senator, and the first question from the juror is, what is a senator? Nobody understands what risk is anymore. And so what we have done is we have substituted the risk of getting sick for a couple of days with a high fever. We have now seen a very infinitesimally small risk of death in a few cases. Now we have a situation where they have reduced the number of mumps cases that are out there, but we have seen a skyrocketing, exponential increase in autism and other severe, life-threatening, lifelong afflictions because of vaccines. That's the exchange that they've given us, because we don't understand risk, and because they will not inform us of what the risks are, because they won't even do the studies. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
You found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. I was just talking at the top of the hour about the increase in mumps infections among the vaccinated people. Yes, it is failing. People are getting their vaccines early. They're not effective. As a matter of fact, many of the problems that we're seeing with vaccinations are because they're giving vaccines to children who don't even have fully developed immune systems. We even had a nurse who was had an organization, Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccines, and she was saying they give premature babies these vaccines, knowing that as they give them these vaccines based on the number of days since they were born, even though they're not fully developed, they're going to give them these vaccines. They know that they're going to go into emergency situations. So they get the emergency treatment set up. They say, hey, we're going to vaccinate a bunch of preemies today, so get ready to put them in intensive care. And they do it anyway. And this is all being hidden from us. As I pointed out at the top of the hour, I interviewed Del Bigtree. He's a producer of the documentary film Vaxxed. Tonight, as part of our 34-hour broadcast, Rob Dew is going to be talking to him at 10 p.m. Very important that you hear this. Very important that you understand that we have substituted the risk of mumps and measles and getting sick like we did baby boomers my age. We'd get sick for a couple of days. It was extremely, extremely rare. Infinitesimally small risk that you would die from it. But today, we have seen, as we saw, the number of cases of measles and mumps go down. It's now starting to increase. But what we have seen, on the other hand, as that started to go down, as vaccines were given more and more frequently to younger and younger children, we have seen the cases of autism and other serious lifelong afflictions skyrocket, go up exponentially. That's what we have. That's the exchange that we've made. It's an exchange that has been done to protect the vaccine industry. And it's an exchange that has been done to keep you in the dark. And so tune in tonight at 10 p.m. Rob Dew is going to be interviewing Del Bigtree. He's going to talk to you about why, even with the vaccine court, this rigged system is handing out an increase of 400% in vaccine injuries over the last year. And for those involved with flu vaccines, that has gone up by 1,000%. I don't want to talk about Saudi Arabia. This is a lot of stuff that's happened over the weekend about Saudi Arabia. There's internal house of cards, but it's more like a Game of Thrones, isn't it? Because we got a king there. Something's going on there I think you'll find interesting, but something that is also very important that will affect us. Economic news as well as war and regime changes going on throughout the Middle East. First of all, we've got this guy that's referred to by many as the Arabian Warren Buffett. He was one of the individuals arrested, Prince Awaleed bin Talal, one of the richest people in the world. As a matter of fact, he's been dubbed the 45th richest man in the world by Forbes in 2017. He was one of 11 Saudi princes that were arrested by a new, quote-unquote, anti-corruption committee. We all understand what this is. This is an internal power consolidation. And then in addition to that, there was a helicopter crash that killed 8 people. One of them was a high-ranking individual within the royal family that could have possibly been a threat to the current crown prince. Things have changed quite a bit in terms of who the crown prince is. The current king is the son of the first king of Saudi Arabia. And this is kind of passed down from one brother to the other over the years. Most of these guys who become the number two guy, the crown prince, most of them have been in their mid to late 70s or early 80s as they become crown prince. And that kind of passed on to some of these other guys. Two of them have been relieved of being the crown prince until this guy, who is 31 years old, very young, very unprecedented, but he is the son of the current king. He was put in place as the crown prince. Now, the guy who was just taken out, this Warren Buffett of Arabia, Awaleed bin Talal, he's one of the founders of Twitter. He holds still a major position in Twitter, as well as Citigroup, as well as Apple. He's been a significant investor in Rupert Murdoch's news corporation, that's Fox News, since 1997. Most recently, he spoke to CNBC's Squawk Box, and he expressed serious doubts about the future of Bitcoin cryptocurrency. During Trump's election campaign, he called Trump, quote, a disgrace, not only to the GOP, but to all of America. So you kind of get an idea of where this guy is politically. You get an idea of how he is connected financially to the Silicon Valley elite. He's been kind of an outsider to the ruling elite, which is ultra-conservative. Remember, this is the place where you see Sharia law rigorously enforced. Women cannot drive. They have religious police who patrol the streets. They beat women that they think are inappropriately dressed. He has advocated women's rights, and this crown prince has made a gesture to that, saying that within a year or so, he's going to allow women to drive. But by that time, or soon after, they're going to take away humans' abilities to drive, because he came up with a major city. He just had a globalist confab with all these central bankers and former leaders all over the West. They called it Davos in the Desert. And as we saw that, and as we saw moves being made by this crown prince to get closer to Russia, to buy arms from Russia and to give them massive donations. He's also made overtures to China. Both Russia and China have said that they want to destroy the petrodollar. I've talked about this for several months, how concerning this is. Exactly what is happening here? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But to understand the breadth of this, they have frozen over 1,200 bank accounts in Saudi Arabia. And one banker said if these stay in place for very long, they could start to hurt day-to-day business activities. People who have businesses may not be able to pay their staff. But I think one of the most interesting articles you'll find on Zero Hedge, and this is coming from the Asia Times, and this particular guy is talking about the inside story of the long night of the night of the long knives in Saudi Arabia. He says this is a lot more serious than it appears to be. He said the arrest of a couple of the sons of the previous king may have been a fatal mistake for this regime. In other words, they're very concerned this is going to turn into an internal civil war. He said there are many left in the army who are against the crown prince, and his name is Mohammed bin Salman. We'll just call him MBS. They are enraged at the arrest of their commanders. He would have to arrest the whole army before he could feel secure. And then they go on to talk about the fact that since he has subsumed the investments of this guy who was the Warren Buffett of Arabia, these investments that he had made were in social media, were in actual media. And he's saying it looks like this new crown prince is trying to hold the keys to all the large media empires and to relocate them to Saudi Arabia. That's one of the negative things that could come out of this. He also talks about how the House of Saud has lost its war in Syria. They were essentially pushing for regime change in Syria. They've been mired down in a Vietnam-type war in Yemen, the country to their south. The Saudi treasury was forced to borrow on international markets. And while they were experiencing a program of austerity where they stopped giving subsidies to the people in Saudi Arabia, they were heavily subsidized. They were not encouraged to develop skills, to develop businesses. They were just given an allowance by the royal family. While he was doing that, and people were angry about the austerity programs, he was out buying a yacht for $500,000, spending $100 million on a vacation in France. And so their popularity tumbled radically, and they're losing these other wars. So he comes up with an idea at Davos for this thing he calls Vision 2030, where they're going to have these modern cities, self-driving cars, robots, and women in Western dress. But he says that can't possibly work because they're going to have to bring in people from outside to do this. They don't have anybody that is technically enough people, technically oriented in Saudi Arabia. And he said he might have gotten away with the arrest of the CIA's favorite Mohammed bin Nayef if he had smoothed it over. But he has now crossed the Rubicon. CIA regards him as totally worthless. And as I said before, if he's going to push back against the petrodollar, if he's going to arrest some of the CIA's allies, they may organize fundamentalist jihadis to overthrow this regime. It is weak. It has been involved in a lot of poorly planned wars, and we're going to talk about the rest of this, the economic consequences here in the U.S. as well as the wider wars in the Middle East. What will that mean, and whose side are we on? Do we understand what's going on here? There's pluses and minuses on both sides of this. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Saudi Game of Thrones. I'm David Knight. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. Part of our 34-hour broadcast. We're entering the third hour of this. In the next segment, we're going to be talking to Lionel. He's going to be joining us. I know he's got some things that he wants to say about the shooting that took place over the weekend, as well as the election that took place yesterday. A person that he dearly loves, Mayor de Blasio, was reelected. He does not love him. We're going to be talking about that, as well as the shooting with Lionel. Before we get back to Saudi Arabia, or at least the news in Saudi Arabia, I'm not actually going there. We're going to talk about the Game of Thrones that's happening there and the economic consequences and the war and peace consequences that may be coming to us out of that region. Before we do, real quickly, I want to remind you of the sale that we have. We have a special sale as part of this 34-hour broadcast. We're calling it the American Rebirth and Renaissance Sale. We have free shipping on these products. We've taken some of our most popular products, put them on 50% off discount with free shipping. Here are some of those products. Super Male Vitality, Super Female Vitality, Biome Defense, All Apparel, all of that stuff, 50% off with free shipping. Also, Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off with free shipping. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formulation, 50% off with free shipping. Super Blue Fluoride-Free Mouthwash, 50% off with free shipping. All that is part of our Rebirth and Renaissance sale. 50% off plus free shipping. Check out the items that are there. A great time to try these products if you've never tried them before. And if you have tried these products and like them, as people who have tried them really do, you can look at the reviews and see these reviews that are there. We don't curate our reviews. It's a third party that puts those up, so we don't have anything to do with them. But you can see what people say about these products, how they've rated them, and make some decisions. Try some products that you haven't tried before. 50% off plus free shipping on a wide variety of products. All right, let's talk about what the consequences are to what's happening in Saudi Arabia for us. First of all, we've seen prices jump after this happened. They know that this individual, who is now the crown prince, advocates cutting supply. And again, this is an argument that was going back and forth as the price of oil continued to drop and as the worldwide economy was sputtering under Obama and other world leaders. They had the argument as to whether or not they were going to keep up production or whether they were going to cut production in the face of declining demand. They waited a while before they actually started doing that. They continued to cut prices. And they really can't compete with fracking. That's the real issue for them. That's the long-term issue for them. Plus, they're concerned that oil and petroleum products are going to be less important in the economy of the future. So they have a lot of economic issues. As I mentioned before, they're caught in a quagmire in Yemen, a war that they started. They're losing the war in Syria. Doesn't look like they're doing very well in Yemen. And that has to do with what happened this weekend. The back and forth, the people who were arrested, the people who died in the helicopter crash. This is something that is going on there. We have to understand that while this crown prince right now is somebody that appears to be someone that Donald Trump likes because they have a common enemy in Iran and in Hezbollah, we have to understand that there are a lot of people, a lot of forces in Saudi Arabia. If this creates a civil war, we could wind up with somebody that is very unfriendly to the United States. And our dollar is linked to having a supportive Saudi Arabia. And even if they succeed, it could lead to a much wider war in the Middle East. This is what President Trump has said. He's gone on the record supporting this effort. He said he has great confidence in the Saudi king and the crown prince. He believes that they know exactly what they're doing. Before we saw the arrests and the helicopter crash, there was a secret trip by Jared Kushner to the Middle East, to Saudi Arabia. And they were not saying what was being talked about, but subsequent to that, this all began to happen. Over the weekend, and this is one of the things that really kicked this off, over the weekend, Saudi Arabia intercepted a ballistic missile that was fired by Yemeni forces at their capital city. No question about that. The Yemen Defense Ministry has confirmed firing it. The Saudi officials seem to be looking to turn this into the start of a region-wide war. They have said that this firing of a missile was a declaration of war against them by both Lebanon and Iran. And remember that Hezbollah is in both of those places. The Saudi claims say that the missile was an Iranian missile. They say it was fired at the Saudi capital by Lebanon's Hezbollah movement, which is part of the Lebanese government. However, reports anti-war, this claim has some major problems. First of all, both the Saudi government and the Yemeni government said that this missile was a Burquan 2H, which is not an Iranian missile. So the question is, where is the Iranian involvement in that? It's also it's a Yemeni missile. It says that also not clear why Hezbollah would have had to go to Yemen and be involved in this missile firing. There's no conceivable reason why Yemen would need a Lebanese militia to fire a Yemeni-made missile from inside Yemeni into Saudi Arabia. Not clear. So that doesn't really hold water. Now, Zero Hedge has an article pointing out that an Israeli channel, Israeli Channel 10 News, has published a leaked diplomatic cable that shows that the Israelis and the Saudis are cooperating to try to push this war against Lebanon and against Iran because they want to attack Hezbollah. They said this cable was leaked. It concerns the chaotic events that unfolded over this last weekend in Lebanon and Saudi Arabia. And they say that it's the first formal evidence that proves that the Saudis and the Israelis are deliberately coordinating to escalate the situation in the Middle East. On Sunday, just after the Lebanese Prime Minister Harari's shocking resignation, Israel sent a cable to all of its embassies with a request that its diplomats do everything possible to ramp up diplomatic pressure against Hezbollah and Iran. They urged support for Saudi Arabia's war against Iran-backed Houthis in Yemen. And they say that Saudi and Israeli common cause against perceived Iranian influence and expansion in places like Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq of late has led to an historic bitter enemies, brings them together down a path of cooperation. All right, so we don't like Hezbollah. We don't like the Muslim Brotherhood. But the question is, as we look at Saudi Arabia's involvement in Yemen, as we look at their involvement in Syria, as we look at them trying to do regime change, and as we look at the U.S. supporting them in this, one of the things that I'm concerned about is that in the past, as justification for creating a European Union, creating the EU, American officials said, who do we talk to when we want to pick up the phone and talk to Europe? It's always been in the interest of the deep state in the United States to have a single point of contact in a region. Are they going to try to make Saudi Arabia that point of contact? If they do, how do we control internal events to make sure that they remain friendly to us and to our currency? We have been closely tied to them. Their head of Saudi intelligence has been indistinguishable from the CIA. And now we see that the CIA has also leaked out these bin Laden files. They said, look, we found a big cache of information about bin Laden, and we've got all these Pixar movies that he had. That's what everybody was focusing on. But understand that it has been carefully and selectively published to implement Iran and to tie them to al-Qaeda, even though Iran has been arresting al-Qaeda. You have to understand that the Sunnis and the Shias and the Wahhabis hate each other. They hate each other as much as they hate Jews and Christians. And Saudi Arabians have refused to release the al-Qaeda people, the Iranians have refused to release them or even give any information on them. And yet, to spin this narrative, the CIA is doing the same type of stuff they did with the JFK files. It's misinformation. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Lionel. I'm David Knight. David Knight on this November the 8th, 2017, the one-year anniversary of the election of President Trump. Joining us now is Lionel. Of course, he is an Emmy Award-winning TV decoder, as he puts it. He's a legal analyst, a licensed lawyer, a former prosecutor. You can find him on YouTube, Lionel Nation. Also, his website is lionelmedia.com, and you can find him on Twitter, at Lionel Media. Joining us now is Lionel. Welcome, Lionel.
And Polly Hister. David, let me say, first of all, on behalf of a grateful nation, the fact that you and your incredible assistant, Jennifer, have enlisted to be on the air for 36 consecutive hours.
Yeah.
How you told Alex Jones, no regular shift for me, my friend. 36 nonstop hours.
Well, it's not all me and it's not all Jennifer, but yeah, we're going to be here for a good bit of it. And we're going to be around the clock because this is something to celebrate.
Well, a couple of things here. First of all, I noticed there was no condolence card. There was no nothing. My city, my beloved New York City, yesterday reelected the worst anything you've ever seen. The worst anything. Not the worst mayor, but in any category, the worst.
Worst dog catcher. He may be running for worst president of the United States, though. He's putting together some people to help him along that direction.
The worst venereal disease, the worst infectious bodily, gone. He is the worst. In fact, we had roughly about 20% of registered voters. I mean, I don't know what. And I got to ask you this. Look at this. There's our friend. There he is. Look at him. See that look on his face? The only man who's like 12 feet tall, who's growing. Who I swear to God, he is growing. And anyway, but I got to ask this right off the bat.
That's maybe his only connection to Abraham Lincoln. He's got some kind of a thyroid issue or something.
Perhaps. Acromegaly or whatever. But I don't want to bring religion into it. But you know, David. Before we get into Trump's incredible victory and the Texas massacre problem, whatever happened to the Confederate statue problem in our country? It seemed like yesterday. Do we have the attention span of a gnat? One week is like, we got to get rid of those statues. You don't understand. It's Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah. We're gonna,
they had the police at Columbus Circle here in New York were protecting the Columbus Circle statue. And they, did we just forget about that? Gone. Now we're doing what? Harvey Weinstein? What? How do you explain this perfervid, convulsing, crazed insanity? We just forget it. Las Vegas, David?
Yeah, Vegas is even more important because notice that even with this shooting, they're really not still not talking about Vegas. I mean, they just kind of left that where it was. They didn't want to pick up the gun control issue with that. But now with a real honest-to-goodness shooting with no phony narratives and no fake heroes, now they're picking up the narrative of gun control again with the shooting in Texas.
I want to also say something. As you know, I refer to my YouTube family, the Lionel Nation YouTube family, as a conspiratorium, not a cathedral. And members of the clerisy, those people, as you know, I'd like to put this word out. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a duty to try to tell the world that we represent a new group of people, people who are not necessarily happy with the usual news. But you cannot always say that every shooting is a false flag, CIA-backed, Mossad, nobody. I haven't seen the death certificates yet. I said, when do you see death certificate? Just calm down. I know that sometimes people are saying, hey, you know, I kind of like this conspiracy stuff. Be calm. Look at things, you know, just carefully, because there's two worlds I live in. That one, and then you've got the other one here in New York who somehow think it relevant to question the NRA. It's like, is there anybody here who could just look at the facts of this and say, let us focus on just, David, what happened here? Forget the NRA. Forget, just look at this. There's 320-something million people. I think you even said it. And by the way, I watch you every single morning of my life. Do you hear me?
Well, thank you. Thank
you. Every morning. But I think you said, what, 6% of the population of this
We're 6% killed and 5% shot and wounded.
Yes.
I mean, that's amazing in that town.
And this must have been the worst moment for these anti-gun nuts to say, what happened? Two heroes. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yes, they gave chase. Well, when did the cops show up? Later. And by the way, not a slam against the cops. They're not.
No, they can't be everywhere. What? No, you know who's got blood on their hands? It's not the NRA. I mean, this guy was an NRA certified instructor that stopped this stuff. The people who have blood on their hands are the Air Force and the federal government. They saw this stuff happening with this guy. Here's a guy who smashes his stepson's skull and beats his wife, and they give him only 1 year in jail, and then they don't record that. And then we find out in the last 24 hours that this guy had escaped from a mental facility, that he had threatened the lives of officers, and this didn't rise to the level that they would report him into some kind of a database where he couldn't buy guns. An absolute total failure by the people who say they're going to protect us if we give them our guns.
Listen to what you just said. David and I said it perfectly. Number one, the federal government, who wants to not only seize and confiscate all weapons, but to disarm us and to waive the Second Amendment, when they have the chance to get somebody, they screw that up. So that's number one. They're not even good at limiting guns. And then we, all of us, those of us who believe in the Second Amendment, those of us who believe in the God-given or natural right to defend themselves, we're saying this man should not have had a gun. David, we're not arguing on his behalf. We join everybody. What is the matter? There is no argument here. Now, if you think somehow there is a way to snap your fingers, I don't know how, and make these guns get away or disappear, that's another thing. But let me also add something. David, there's something that's about us. You know, when you look at nobody wants to do this. You look at other countries. Look at Mexico. by God, they've got crime. They've got people beheaded, hanging from trestles and railroad. I mean, it's the most. But
more people than die in Afghanistan in that war there. Yeah.
But when they kill somebody, it's about something. And I'm not trying to justify it, but it's about drugs or
it's about drugs.
You ratted me out or money or whatever. Because we hear a song or somebody doesn't like something, we are thriving in mental illness. Our shootings are always insane. That is the difference. Now, I'm not sure if you've been around the world. In Israel, walk around and everybody's got guns. Girls in the IDF, women, young people, they go on a date, they bring their rifle. This is military grade, super ballistic. You mean to tell me not one person in Israel anywhere says, loses their job, has a breakup, gets drunk? Nobody ever does this?
Switzerland. Switzerland, same situation, Niall.
Switzerland, hey. Finland, yeah. And David. So what I'm saying is it's us. There is something about this Adams family. Well, they were saying, but this world that we live in, and I'm telling you, it's there is no answer to this. But here's the best part: were it not for those two strangers, regular people who said, "I'm not going to sit back and just let this happen." Remember, David, years ago, the Kitty Genovese story, where there was the woman here in Queens and Kew Gardens. She was screaming purportedly she was being raped and stabbed, and nobody helped her. They always talk about the Kitty Genovese story. Okay, we're not talking about this. Look at these two individuals, two people who were just never met, didn't know each other. They said, "I'm going to help you." And my favorite was in the interview with Mr. Williford, I believe, on the right, when the police said, "Put your gun down, put your hands on the steering wheel," or whatever. And he put his gun down, and the police officer said, "I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about that guy." Because in Texas,
there's a difference between a law-abiding citizen and a murderer. And the police knew the difference. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, I think, the single most important thing that the media is not paying attention to. The most important thing about this shooting. We're talking to Lionel, and I'm David Knight. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm David Knight on this November the 8th, 2017, the one-year anniversary of the election of President Trump. We're talking to Lionel, and we're just talking about the shooting in Texas. I'm going to tell you what I think is the single most important aspect of this that is not being covered by the mainstream media. I don't even think we've done a good job of talking about it here at InfoWars, even though we broke the news on Monday. We haven't really publicized it enough. So I'm going to get to that in just a moment and get Lionel's take on that. But real quickly, let me remind you of the products that we have on sale as part of this 34-hour broadcast that we're doing. We have free shipping and 50% off on a wide variety of some of our most popular products. Let me give you that list. Super Male and Super Female Vitality, both of them, 50% off with free shipping. We have Biome Defense, our probiotic, that is 50% off with free shipping. All Apparel, 50% off with free shipping. We have Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, a drink format to take your baseline vitamins and minerals. That is 50% off with free shipping. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula, 50% off with free shipping. And Super Blue Fluoride-Free Mouthwash, 50% off with free shipping. Take a look at the products that we have on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. It's part of our special 34-hour broadcast, amazing discounts, 50% off and free shipping on a wide variety of our most popular products. Lionel, when I look at this, and let me get your take on this, I think the single most important takeaway from this event that we saw in terms of trying to shut down gun control to make sure that we don't lose our ability to protect ourselves, of course, we all know there was a good guy with a gun, but the key thing, I think, is the fact that both of them had the same rifle, the same exact horrifying military-style assault rifle that the press has talked nonstop about, this rifle that was owned by the lunatic. And they talk about all the details of it. They tell you all the specifications of it. We've seen multi-page articles from NPR, from USA Today, all these different places talking about how horrible this rifle is. But it was the same rifle by both people. Different people. That's the key issue there. But the same rifle. And you don't want to take that away. You know, when I first reported this, Lionel, on Monday, I was going with what the Daily Beast had said. They said the killer had an AR-15, but that the hero had a shotgun. And I was talking to Mark Collins, a former pastor of that very church who lives elsewhere now. He went back to help the people there, and he had already talked to Stephen Williford, the hero who shut this down. He told us, he said he's very upset that he wasn't able to get there sooner and so forth. He says it was not a shotgun. He had to put bullets in the magazine. The magazine was not loaded. He had to put bullets in. And that, as you saw, that very touching testimony yesterday that came out from him, very tearful testimony, where he was still upset about the fact that he couldn't get there sooner. But that was an assault rifle. And Mark Collins corrected me on that. We were the first ones to point that out. And mainstream media, even conservative media, even people who are pushing back against the gun control narrative, really haven't talked about this much.
Does this really surprise you? Do you really think, honestly? I mean, of course,
no.
Rhetorical. No. But it goes to show you, you know, this word assault rifle, if you go through the definition of it, if you have a retractable stock, if you have a bayonet, tab is like a band.
Yeah, bayonet was a big part of that attack, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean that's a really, I mean, that's a problem. I don't know about you. But, you know, it goes to show you, and let me also say something, if you don't mind, and this is not being congratulatory, but this is why it's so important, because there's so much to say. Your coverage of this, Rob Dew's coverage, was just incredible. And the live aspect of it, and the fact that we're sitting here breaking this thing down, dissecting it, decoding it, and looking at all that's happening, because when you're not interested in doing a 1 minute part where you're saying, how do I look? How's my makeup? How's everything? When you're interested more in conveying the truth, that's why this is so important. But David, I don't know how to tell people, and I try. The information that was provided by Gary Kleck years ago from Florida State University, John Lott, and others who show the number of people who effectively use and actually use correctly weapons to either prevent crimes, stop crimes, to thwart, either by using guns, weapons, firearms, threatening to use them, brandishing them. This is a reality that's not addressed. The problem is that when you're a part of this sock puppet left, and you're handed your issue book, and you say, just remember these bumper stickers, just remember these NRA assault weapon. What's an assault weapon? It doesn't matter. Okay.
They don't know what it is.
But just talk about this.
It's something that scares them. You know, it's kind of like the legal definition of assault. That's right. A scary rifle. It assaults me.
Semi-automatic versus automatic, machine gun. Hey, don't worry about it. Just do it. Just go out there and do it. And the thing about this is that, you know, this man, just look at him right now. This is a hero. Do you know when you met Mr. Williford and you were there, and you actually could look at the person who said, you did something. And let me tell you something. Here's the best part, which another folk, if the gun laws are not going to be followed by this crazed killer, of all the places, next to my native Florida, of all the states where you should not commit first-degree murder if you plan on getting away, is Texas.
Yeah.
They kill people in electric bleachers. Now, that did not... Of all the places, you're going to commit first-degree murder in Texas?
And obviously insane, right? And you know, here's the other thing, too. This guy was, they want to demonize the NRA. They want to say the NRA's got blood on its hands. And yet he was an NRA-certified instructor. You know, this other guy, they both had the same rifle. And you look at it, here's a guy who's what? The crazy guy. He was like mid-20s, okay? And I'm sure he was much more fit than this 55-year-old hero, Stephen Williford. If you look at those pictures of him with the guy who was driving the car, he's quite a bit shorter than the other guy. I don't know if the other guy was really tall or if he was short. But here's a guy who's 55, maybe a bit overweight like me. He's not going to be up to a hand-to-hand combat with some guy who just got out of the military. And if it was a knife fight or something, the other guy would have the advantage. But in this situation, guns are the great equalizer for people who are older, people who are not out of shape, for women. That's the great equalizer. And it was in this case. Even though the guy had body armor, Stephen Williford had training. And he was able to shoot through the body armor. That's the key thing.
From what organization provides some of the best training? What is that one?
That's right.
Triple
NRA. That's right.
And also, you know what they also do too, David, which drives me nuts. The if you work for the mainstream sock puppet Ted Baxter Media, you are told, don't you ever implicate Big Pharma. Don't you ever. So now when we're talking about opioids, gee, we got an opioid problem. Where the hell do the opioids come from? Shh, quiet. Don't confuse that. But they're very selective as to say, no, let's don't blaspheme an entire industry. But when it comes to guns, firearms, the industry, the NRA, people who are involved in shooting sports, that blanket indictment is, I mean, it's like a huge tarp they throw in. But when it comes to others, like, for example, Big Agra, don't ever bring up GMOs. Don't ever bring up Big Pharma. Don't ever bring up the fact that, and we don't know whether he, if I find out that he was on an SSRI, you know where I'm going with this.
If I find out that,
lo and behold, how many of these, when you have drugs that have in its own, remember, in the warning, side effects. And by the way, they're not side effects, they're effects. When you aren't even listed, that means that the frequency of such is so great that you've got to mention it. But when it's listed as number one, murder, suicide for antidepressants, and I'm not saying it is, but when you see how carefully, how they mince words, how they parse information, how the mainstream media, they are actively acting as, in essence, I guess you might say, accomplices to keeping the truth from us. And I didn't have to tell you this, but
and some people who knew him in high school said he was on heavy meds. This is a guy who's been in and out of hospitals. He escaped from a mental hospital when he was in the Air Force and so forth. That is a key issue. I think we're going to find that he had something like that that would only exacerbate his mental illness. And that's what the SSRIs do.
And please let us stop trying to find out what it was that made these people. Look, I've been in the business, and I've been a prosecutor, and trust me, I have never seen anybody who was a serial killer or anybody provide a cogent theory as to why they committed mass murder or anything for matter. You just never do this. But also, you look at this, and you realize there are people who, instead of saying, wait a minute, let us maintain our anti-gun theory. Oh, by the way, if this dude, and I don't want to bring up MK Ultra.
I know. He goes from like one of the highest individuals on scholarships and grants and everything to that overnight. And then becomes Jason Bourne in the process, too.
Right. Just like when people all of a sudden they say, what gave you the suggestion that Hillary Clinton was sick? There she was the night of the, I said, because she's having a seizure because she's falling down. Look. Right. I can tell death and pregnancy. I'm pretty good at that, and I'm no expert. But what we need to do is to compartmentalize this issue and say, listen, all of you anti-gun people, you can maintain this fanaticism, but just look at it within the confines, within the four corners, if you will, of this issue. These men were heroes. Thank God they stopped these people.
Yeah, you think they're going to be on Ellen's show? I don't think she'll have the real heroes on. Spot on, Lionel. Thank you for joining us. And again, you can find Lionel on YouTube, Lionel Nation. You can find him on Twitter, at Lionel Media. I'm David Knight. Stay with us. This is only the first 3 hours of our 34-hour broadcast.